love musicals. Classic musicals.
Is this the 2012 Les Miserables?
Weird musicals.
We're talking about Little Shop of Horrors. Musicals that make us laugh.
2005 film, The Producers. Musicals that make us cringe.
This isn't like, oh, fun trippy visuals, this is scary trippy visuals.
But if we've learned anything from talking about musicals, it's that at the end of the day, there is always a rant to be had.
It's like she's in a dead-end marriage.
These aren't hockey pads.
Fever dream of a reality.
She murdered Jennifer Hudson.
She's like Cat Pope.
Adolf Elizabeth Hitler.
Square share, you die.
I mean, what's a more romantic setting than a bunch of laundry?
So on our podcast, we do our best to discuss the most famous and infamous movie musicals you all love.
So let's pull back the curtain and begin our
Stage Rant.
And 5, 6, 7, 8.
Welcome to Stage Rant, where two dudes, both equally secure in their masculinity and sexuality, break down the biggest movie musicals. Each week, myself, Adam, a man who thinks that the book is perfectly fine as it is!
Jesus, you are coming out of the gate strong. You've got some energy.
I do.
You've got some demons.
Discusses the history of a show with...
Joe, a man who often finds himself waving through the window with a lot of strong, pointed opinions. So without further ado, let's begin the show. Adam, we're doing something kind of special this week.
Yes, similar to last week where we talked about...
A week in the past. Who knows when we're...
Who knows when this is being released. We're busy people. We gotta stack this shit.
We make it happen. So we do a lot of stuff. And our shows are often very long.
Yes.
And hopefully, as society returns to some semblance of normalcy, hopefully maybe you have a commute.
Yes.
Maybe you want something a little shorter.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do a mini bite.
Yes.
Just a little bite-sized chunk for you.
This little micro rant.
So, yeah, and we're gonna rant about... So we've talked a lot about in the past, of course, Adam, like... You know, all of these are all the shows we've talked about in most cases, with the exception of Annie, A Royal Bullshit.
And Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again have been, have been recreations of Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm. Or West End shows.
Stop.
It exists! Let's not ignore the city of London.
Can we?
No! We can't!
The Isle of London! Anywho. We've talked a lot about that, but one thing we're going to talk about today is, what makes a good, faithful rendition, a good, faithful movie depiction of a show that we, you know, all love and hold dear. So, Dear Evan Hansen was announced, was coming out, I believe it's set to release, I think it's September of 2021. So who knows? Everything's crazy. It's possible that it could not release. Who knows? Adam, have you seen Dear Evan Hansen?
I have.
Beautiful show.
Yes.
Like, really kind of fucked up. We're not going to go.
Oh, we're not going to... This is not a review of Dear Evan Hansen. If you've seen it, you know. If you haven't, wait till the movie.
Right. And we're going to, wait to, talk about the plot and everything until we get to the actual... Until it's released in September.
Once we see the movie itself.
So we just want to talk about, our hopes for it. It is currently... Principal photography began in, I think, last August.
Yeah.
So it's been going. The cast list has been released. I'm really excited about this. Yeah. Because this is really important. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would truly like a movie rendition of Dear Evan Hansen without Ben Platt.
I think you could do it without Ben Platt, but it would need to be perfectly cast. Mm-hmm. And I think that also plays into, I guess, one of the first things that I think of whenever you do an adaptation of a, from stage to film.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the, what I'm going to call the curse of the original Broadway cast.
Mm-hmm.
Where, for many people, when they see a stage production, even if they don't see it, they just listen to the original Broadway cast recording.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing they hear. Any subsequent performance of those songs will forever and always be compared to the original Broadway cast.
Which is, I mean, it's absolutely real.
For sure.
I can only think of Andrew Rannells as Elder Price in mm-hmm. Book of Mormon, even though I've seen... At this point, three separate Elder Prices.
Right.
And I'm always comparing them to Andrew at this
right.
point.
And similarly, I've seen Wicked 6 times. It's bad. It's also a perfect... It's, in my opinion, and a friend actually told me this the other day, Wicked is the perfect musical. There's nothing wrong with Wicked. Anyway, even though I never saw Idina Menzel, I always compare every Elphaba to Idina Menzel. Sure. So, like, you have this horrible, not horrible, but you have this just kind of curse of the original Broadway cast recording, which I think is fine if you're seeing, like, a touring company or it's a new actor coming into the role on Broadway in New York. And it's fine, it's whatever. But when the movie comes out,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Broadway fans are going to forever and always be thinking, will it match up or be as good, if not better, than the original Broadway cast?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking just the soundtrack, but the performances. You know, if a character is performed a certain way, and the movie comes out and that character is now being performed a totally different mm-hmm. way,
or just a different take on it, or a
right,
yeah, yeah.
It can be hard for those who are Broadway fans.
Sure.
We take, for instance, you know, we take a look at something we recently talked about with The Prom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the inclusion of James Corden,
yes,
was controversial for many reasons, but overall his performance was fine. But you listen to the original Broadway cast of The Prom, and I think that the actor who played Barry in the original Broadway cast has a much better voice. But I've never seen the show.
I
don't know.
So we'll talk about this. We'll talk about quality of music.
Yes.
Is one of these things.
Because that's the other...
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll
get there.
We'll add that to our list. So, like, it's coming out in September. The good news is, right, going mm-hmm. off of that, we don't really need to necessarily worry about these expectations of certain fans who have grew up and maybe have only heard the soundtrack,
right,
or have were lucky enough to see the original production, because Ben Platt is coming back as Evan Hansen,
right,
which I think is going to give this a step above. Like, it's giving it a great first step into this space, because fans know Ben Platt.
Right.
Ben Platt's pretty amazing.
Right.
He does this thing with his voice. I used to be convinced with Dear Evan Hansen
uh-huh.
when I heard, because it was the first time I'd ever heard Ben Platt. I used to be convinced that, like, he was just going to blow out his voice box at some point in time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when he sings, mm-hmm. it sounds like...
Oh, yeah. I remember listening
to him. I'm like, are you in pain? Like, are you okay? Jesus.
Yeah, I remember listening to him one time with a friend who was a vocal performance major. Mm-hmm. And she even told me, she's like, he's going to regret that when he's older. He's ruining his voice right now. And I'm like, I think that's just the way he sings.
Right. But, like, regardless of his vocal capacity, he's amazing. Like, I love him. Have you seen The Politician?
Yes, both seasons.
Love The Politician.
Love The Politician.
I just love him as a character. So I'm happy about that, because we can see that he performs well in both mediums.
And it's a very rare instance where the original Broadway actor is going to also be in the movie.
Right. Doesn't happen a lot.
The only other instance of this than the movies we've reviewed is The Producers.
Nope, Samantha Barks.
Yes.
In Les Mis.
But she wasn't the original, though.
She wasn't the... Well, so the show had been running for 30 years.
I'm talking original.
Okay.
It's very rare that the original Broadway cast is also in the movie.
I feel like it's also relatively rare that a new musical gets...
I mean, The Producers, The Prom, and Dear Evan Hansen are exceptions.
Sure.
I mean, we're just now getting our first remake of West Side Story after almost 50 years.
Right.
We're also getting a Little Shop of Horrors remake, which I'm not here for.
It was fine. Just let it be.
It's fine as it is.
Bring back Rick Moranis. But so, like, the casting for this, I think, is going to be really solid. You have Ben Platt as Evan Hansen. His mother is played by Julianne Moore, which I think is great, because she's, like, you know, your badass, you know, redhead, like, kind of cold mother. So I think she was scary in
the Carrie remake.
Yeah. I think she's going to make a great Heidi for Ben to play off.
Mm-hmm.
On the Murphy side, you have Caitlin Dever? Or something. I don't know. She was in Justified, Last Man Standing, Unbelievable on Netflix. Don't know a ton about her.
Yeah.
Good for her. I'm so fucking excited for Amy Adams to come back as Connor's mother, as Mama Murphy.
Yeah.
I love Amy Adams for just everything. Mostly the Muppets, but like for everything.
The Muppets are good.
Am I a man or am I a Muppet? I love her in that. And then the dad is, I don't know what he's been in.
Cold Daniel Case. Pino.
Long-running NBC legal drama Law and Order Special Victim. Yeah. This is weird. There's actually a lot of people in here who came from Law and Order SVU. Colton Ryan plays Connor, is a relatively unknown. Was his only other credits are Dear Evan Hansen.
There you go.
2021.
Right.
And Law and Order SVU. So this is kind of like a weird NBC dramatic
interesting
production of Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited because they're actually bringing on the writer of the book, Stephen Levinson, who wrote Dear Evan Hansen, to also do the screenplay.
Which is important.
It's important.
Because the other big thing, moving on beyond the original Broadway cast recording, this is the big thing for me. And we mentioned this before we started recording.
Are we moving into things that make a good faith? Yeah, so let's move into like things that make a good, faithful.
Yes. We touched on it with the rendition. With the original Broadway cast curse. Which in rare instances, unlike The Prom, which just got a quick movie adaptation, we look at the producers. You listen to the producer's soundtrack for Broadway, and you listen to it for the film. And in my opinion, it's one of those things where the Broadway cast, I think, sounds better vocally, but I like the instrumental more of the film. Because here's a big thing with music. When you have an original Broadway cast, oftentimes you're working with The Pit. Which, if anyone's been to Broadway, or even a touring production of a show, The Pit Orchestra is comprised of at most 20 people.
Right.
And that's pushing it. So to have,
and let it be said, they do great work.
Oh yeah, I'm not bashing The Pit. Like I have seen amazing, you know, heart-pounding music from everything from like your Phantom of the Opera to like Kinky Boots. And you know, it's all good. I'm never let down by a Pit orchestra. But with a film, you get the luxury of having a full orchestra. You can have a full studio orchestra for whatever film studio you're working with, or hell, you might even get to work with some, you know, New York, London Philharmonic.
Sure.
You know, so you get fuller instrumental,
and
oftentimes the vocals are a bit cleaner in the recording, because you can do multiple takes. Not to say that you can't do that with a Broadway recording as well, but some Broadway cast recordings are just, they put a mic in the theater.
Yep.
And they just record
a
show, or they record them singing on stage, and that's it.
Right.
So,
and we were just talking about this with The Prom. So, like, we were listening to and comparing Tonight Belongs to You from the original Broadway cast recording and then the new one. And there, it really just feels more full. Like, it feels more flushed out. It feels more dramatic and big band, because it is a bigger band.
And having heard the movie version first, there's one part in Tonight Belongs to You that I just love, where this kind of like, I don't know if it's saxophones or trumpets, but kind of that swing is so much fuller in the movie when compared to the Pit Orchestra, where it's just
it's because they have the time, the resources, and the money. Oh my god, the money.
Yes.
To sit there and mix all of these channels for hours and hours and days on
because end. Because oftentimes when, here's a little behind the scenes of Broadway for those of you who aren't familiar with it, oftentimes the cast recording is done right as dress rehearsals are finishing, right as previews are getting done, so that when the show debuts, they're able to also, beyond selling t-shirts, keychains, and overpriced glasses of wine, you can also buy the CD or download on Apple Music or Spotify, wherever you stream your music from, you can download that original cast album as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're recording it at the same time as they're, you know, putting the show together. But with a movie, you just have the luxury of time.
Right. And I'm excited to see. Now, Dear Evan Hansen's soundtrack is already a frickin' bop.
Because a lot of the music is based in just simple acoustics.
It's all acoustic instruments and very basic mm-hmm. structures. I'm excited. I don't want them to overstep with it.
Because that's the other danger you mm-hmm. have, is going...
Just because you have access to it doesn't mean that it works.
Right.
Case in point, Les Mis.
Yeah.
Where they had such an incredible... Like, if you listen to the compilation track at the end of the Les Mis soundtrack, you're like, holy shit, this was really good. Like, this was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we couldn't hear it because of how it was mixed in the film.
Right.
So I think there's definitely a line that they have to tread of making sure that we're doing, you know, that we have access to this, it's great, right? But we're mm-hmm. not allowing it to overpower these incredible vocals that we've known and, you know, can come to expect from Ben Platt in this role.
And mixing, sound mixing. I can't tell you how many... Mm. Even, oddly enough, I rented Rocky Horror on Amazon, not knowing it was available on Hulu. Oops.
The more you know.
And whoever mixed the soundtrack, I never noticed it before, on the soundtrack, if you just listen to it, you stream it, sounds fine. Whoever mixed it in the movie bumped the instrumental way more than mm-hmm. the vocals, which oftentimes you don't really have an issue with in a theater, because there's someone there live
being like,
to move the instruments higher or lower. And honestly, I have been to shows where whoever went to the soundboard was like, we need more electric guitar! And the show is ruined because I don't know what's being sung.
Right.
So
it's such a fine line to walk, and I don't envy the people in this world, because this show means a lot to a lot of people, especially younger generations, for people new to Broadway and musicals in general, and so they have their work cut out for them. But let's talk about things that are in the musical and sometimes what is transitioned into the movie and what is not transitioned.
Generally speaking,
this one kills me. Mm. Choosing to remove songs from the musical in the movie. I don't necessarily understand it.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest offender I think that we've had of this is probably going to be Little Shop of Horrors. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Little Shop of Horrors,
Meek Shall Inherit, like, it was a bop.
The Meek Shall Inherit is an amazing piece because it's one guy playing three different roles in quick succession, which would have been so much easier to do
with three separate actors. It would have been fine, like,
or have the same actor and you have time to do good costume changes, full makeup,
right? But it's like that's one of my, oddly enough, like one of my favorite songs, because that's the song of Seymour's like crisis, right? Like in that moment he's debating, like, holy shit, can I murder people for success and fame?
And it's also funny.
And when that isn't present in the movie, if you're a big fan of the show, it's abrasive and you notice it immediately.
Because they take what is, in essence, a 6-minute long song of getting, spoilers for Little Shop, you know, getting
All these offers
from Life magazine, getting a TV show, doing, you know, book tours. And then he has this crisis of like, oh my god, I love Audrey, I need this money, but is it worth it if I'm a murderer?
Right.
And he ultimately decides, yeah, it's worth it, as long as I get to have the life I've always wanted. But in the movie, it's reduced to three scenes that last maybe 5 seconds
mm-hmm.
of all three of those offers in quick succession, and then maybe a minute and a half of music.
Right.
And that's it.
And so I think... It removing songs that should not have been removed, honestly, just keep all of the songs, because imagine Dear Evan Hansen mm-hmm. without, you know, breaking a glove.
Right.
Like, that can very easily be transitioned into a scene where it's him throwing a baseball in the backyard with Connor Stan and being like, ha ha,
mm-hmm.
nice mitt, right? And then being like, hey, put some shaving cream on it and it will be good to go.
Right.
Keep the song, because that song could mean something to the people who... are the people who made the show successful, and why you're now in a space where you can turn it into a movie. Also, don't add songs that did not exist in the original at Les Mis. Stop attempting
Suddenly. It's strange.
What the hell is suddenly?
I'm singing this song.
In a carriage. Like, it's not necessary. And it rarely, and if your problem is that you have to, you know, be constrained by runtime, and if you're looking to cut songs that already exist in favor of a song you desperately want to be song of the year, like,
everyone knows it's to get the Oscar, you know, it's like, oh, why is Hugh Jackman singing this song?
Mm.
Singing this for the Oscar of Best New Song.
Right.
So why... This is...
It's not necessary, and it feels so out of place.
This, and Cats did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And Cats was an even bigger offender because Tom Hooper changed songs. And here's another thing. So, with music in particular, when a song starts, the song... I always think of, and bear with me for this weird analogy, I always think of whenever a song is going... It's like a train crossing a bridge. And the train will either fall off the bridge or the bridge will collapse. And once that song starts, the train is crossing the bridge. And you don't stop the train until the train has gotten across the bridge. Cats messed this up horribly, where in the middle of one song, I think the Rum Tum Tugger, we have Rebel Wilson coming in for no reason, being like, well, I can dance like him.
You're right.
And then there's a weird hip-hop pop-and-lock sequence that she does. And then it cuts back to the song. And it's like, what? Huh? You just ruined the flow of that song. For no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Rebel Wilson doing her pop-and-lock sequence did not add anything. So don't change songs to change them. When the song starts, the song has a beginning... And it ends. And nothing should happen in between the beginning and the end. I'm done.
Who hurt you?
Tom Hooper.
Damn you, Tom Hooper. I would also say, and this one's more tough to like convey in words here. This, when you are making a film, you are not necessarily limited by scope of what you can produce on a stage. And right. So you might be tempted to add heightened degrees of spectacle, which ultimately detract from what musicals are about, which is the interaction and the stories of the characters.
Right.
Now, like, the reason I think, in reflection, and after watching The Prom again last night because I was bored, is, like, what I really like about The Prom is you can tell, A, that the book was not changed heavily. No. Those jokes you can see... you know, playing out on stage to right. a live audience. Nothing right. has changed, and now they're just being said by Keegan-Michael Key.
Right.
But the spectacle isn't you know, massive, right? No. There's nothing depicted on, you know, in the musical, excuse me, in the movie,
mm-hmm.
that you can't see how it would have been framed on stage.
Right.
Right? Now, you're not, obviously, it's not presented as a pro shot. You mm-hmm. have the ability to shoot in an actual shopping mall, right? You can, mm-hmm. in this, you can shoot in an actual backyard or in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you don't need all these crazy mm-hmm. spectacles, these special, like, camera shots, etc. Focus on mm-hmm. the characters. Focus yes. on their interactions, because that's what it's about.
Now, I would say that you can do spectacle, and here's my caveat here. If it makes sense...
And it doesn't detract from the tone.
And the perfect example of this actually is one of the few movies we reviewed that it was a Best Picture winner. That is 2002 Chicago. Mm, where...
That's... Yeah.
You have the realistic world of Velma Kelly and Roxy Hart are in jail. You could very... If you wanted to do a grounded, realistic version of Chicago, you could do that... And just have them be in jail cells, singing these songs to each other, or mm-hmm. singing to the warden, you know, whoever. But it intersperses the real-world events with these heightened sense, this over-the-top jazz theater, you know, set that comes up for almost every song.
Right.
And it's heavily stylized. And for the tone of that musical,
it works.
It makes sense.
Right.
If Dear Evan Hansen did that... It'd be weird.
It'd be really weird.
Like, if The Prom was, like, you know... Like, if when Barry takes Emma on the shopping spree, if all of a sudden, you know, everyone in the mall was doing crazy dances along with them, it wouldn't make much sense.
Right.
Because the tone of that song is Barry and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our main focus. The only difference, I would say, is that Andrew Rannells has his, what's it called? It's the religious song.
Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor. That makes sense because it's talking about everyone.
Right.
So it's everyone's involved in that song, which makes sense. But even then, Love Thy Neighbor, beyond the dancing, there's nothing spectacular.
And you still have, a ring of people around them in the mall watching them dance, not actively participating.
Right.
I think it's really important to me, personally, that, these movie musicals are grounded in some sort of reality. Especially for a movie with the tone of Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes. Because you can have fantastical musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're
like Mamma Mia.
Oh my god,
it makes sense for them to be riding in on a fleet of fishing boats Dancing Queen. Like, that works.
Like, the tone of some stories and musicals makes sense to do the fantastical. Some do not require it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there are musicals that put it in anyway. Like, an odd one, Phantom of the Opera. This is where I think the adaptation of the stage to the movie, it gets a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
And the stage production, and just one scene I'm going to talk about here, and then we'll move on beyond Phantom, is like when they get to the Phantom's Lair the first time, candles come up from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's on stage, it's just a scene transition.
Right.
But Joel Schumacher, who directed it, took it as, oh, candles are coming out of the water already lit. Huh?
Right.
He's a guy who's a genius engineer. He's not legitimately magic. Like, he's just a man. The Phantom's not a superhero. He's a guy. Anyway.
I think ultimately, I'm excited for it.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if there's a ton of ways that they can mess this up. Luckily, the director for this is Stephen Shofsky, or whatever, however you pronounce his name. He did Perks of Being a Wallflower. So, hopefully he understands how to, create a movie about high school teens.
Mm-hmm. The intensely emotional plot of Dear Evan Hansen.
Right. And that's why I'm concerned, but not super concerned. I'm hesitant. Because, there is that tendency for them to be like, it's now a movie, so now we're going bigger and bolder. Mm-hmm. When in reality, Dear Evan Hansen clicks with so many people because it's such a close, intimate story about character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's probably one of the most character-centric and driven stories we've talked about. Which is why, it's hard for some people to work with it and to understand it and integrate it in their own value system. Because you're like, this is messed up. It's ultimately about a dude using the suicide of someone in his school to his advantage. Whoa.
The first time I saw Dear Evan Hansen, I literally thought, this is a bad musical.
Right.
It wasn't after much contemplation that I was like, oh, this is a pretty good, is pretty good. But even if you've seen, have you seen it on stage?
I have not seen it on stage.
So, even the set for Dear Evan Hansen is so minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
There's the necessary...
I've seen illegal recordings of it. I have not seen it myself.
You haven't seen illegal recordings. You've seen Dear Evan Hansen YouTube slime tutorial. Wink, wink.
No, I've seen Sign My Cast tutorial.
Sign My Cast tutorial starring Ben Platt. Yeah. anyway. But the set is... the necessary pieces.
Right.
He's in bed, there's a bed. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
He's at school and he needs to print something, there's a printer on stage. You don't need much. Similarly, the movie should be intimate and small. We don't need spectacle.
Because that's what the musical is about, right? And I think if we go back and look at some of our favorite adaptations, they're the ones that are the truest to the original source material, right? Yeah. They're the ones that don't fuck around and add or take away songs for no goddamn reason, mm-hmm. right? They're the ones that don't change the tone of the film or of the original show, like Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. Chicago is very, very true to what it is.
Yes.
And it's like each show has to be in line with the tone of the original concept.
And And I think,
and I'm excited to see this.
I think also with movies, you have both the advantage and disadvantage of everyone has the best seat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a musical, you can either have a really good seat or have a really shit seat. But with a movie, everyone has the same seat. So you don't need to be performing to people in the back row.
Right.
You're performing to a front row audience only.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to have your characters be doing over-the-top acting. You don't need your characters to be belting when there's no need to belt.
You know? Right. You know what I'm excited for off of this comment?
Hmm.
Words Fail.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that because, like, Words Fail, even... It already plays off from the cast recording as a very... I'm just gonna sound repetitive, as a very, like, intimate song, right? Like, it sounds like he is actively crying as he's singing it.
Right.
Now, I don't want them to go full Les Mis, I Dreamed a Dream, and have the... like, Anne Hathaway, God, I love you, you princess, but come on, please.
But her dream came true.
But her... she dreamed a dream! Like, I'm excited for what you've just said, right? The concept of you're not playing it up. So having more character acting come through, mm-hmm. which I think Ben Platt is completely capable of doing, i.e. the politician.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this. Comes out later half of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be... It's the first of a number of
mm-hmm.
stage productions that are either getting revivals through mm-hmm. movies or maybe coming to the silver screen for the first time. So,
yeah. 'Cause we have this. We have
West Side Story.
Little Shop
of Horrors, In the Heights
which
is coming.
I think also, and this is going to sound really weird, I think there are also rare instances where the stage to movie adaptation either happened so long ago by today's standards, or elevated and or changed the stage musical in a way that it never could. That in many ways the movie is either more widely known or accepted as a better version of that story, i.e. Rocky Horror.
Mm.
Rocky Horror was originally a stage production, turned into a movie, became a cult classic. Now when you tell people, oh, there's a stage production, some people are like, there's a what?
Or what?
It's like, well, that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always a movie. Similar to Little Shop. Little Shop has a small but dedicated fan base. The movie is fine. I think in some instances you can look at both the movie and the stage production as separate, but with recent adaptations like Producers, The Prom, Dear Evan Hansen,
right.
The scrutiny is going to be there.
Right.
That's my closing note. That's my final note.
I'm excited for this. What do you think? What do you think at home? Interact with us on social media. Tell us what you think. Are you excited for Dear Evan Hansen this year? Yeah. Ben Platt coming back into his role in this... God, Twitter's going to have a field day with this. You're going to have all those people who have never heard of it before, and they're going to be like,
like, this is such a bad story.
Like, come on. I'm excited to see what that turns out to be. Do you think there's going to be conflict? Do you think people are going to try to start controversy about it?
100%.
Are you excited to see another one of our favorite movies come to the musical form? Tell us on our social media. Whatever. Tell us on social media. This has been a brief version of...
Yes.
This has been a mini bite-sized rant.
A micro rant.
Yeah. That's... honestly, stay true.
Yeah.
I think that's the lesson of today, right?
Yeah.
Like, if this was... If we were educators...
Yeah.
Yeah. Be true to yourself.
Be true to your source material, and if you do change it well...
Have a reason to change it.
Only change if it adds to the narrative.
Right.
In a meaningful way.
But be careful.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, movie musicals should be to please the people who appreciated the musical to begin with.
Or to give the opportunity to those who never saw it.
Or exactly. Right?
Yeah.
At Hamilton. So,
which is a totally different thing entirely.
Totally different concept.
We can talk about pro shots later.
But very excited for this. Enjoy the rest of your day and whatnot.
Yes.
Go listen to Sincerely Me.
Yeah, Just go listen to the whole soundtrack of Dear Evan Hansen.
Just go smile. Does anybody have a map? God, I'm so excited to hear freaking Amy Adams.
I'm happy that you're excited.
It's Amy. Do you not like Amy Adams?
No, I like Amy. I like Amy Adams.
It sounds dangerously like you don't like Amy Adams.
No, I love Amy Adams.
That sounded like you were being like. It sounds like I'm happy that you are happy about Amy.
No. I'm happy that you're happy about Dear Evan Hansen. Dear Evan Hansen is not one of my favorite musicals. It's good, and I like it. It's not one of my favorites. So I'm happy. I know it's one of your favorites, if not your favorite musical of all time. So I'm happy for you.
But not about Amy Adams, it would appear.
No, I love it.